Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's John Mayer, mining analyst, partner at SP Angel. And in the background there, if you're watching on video, you see it, John's bookcase and room. It's hopefully, John, this is not as, well, it's maybe as interesting, as esoteric as your brain. Hopefully it's not as cluttered is your brain, though.
Unfortunately, slightly cluttered. But as Einstein once said,
that's what he said at the end of his life. What is it now?
If he said an untidy desk is a sign of an untidy mind, what is an empty desk a sign of?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you can have a tiny desk, tiny mind. Yeah. I've discovered, actually, this is quite interesting. Over the road from me, well, there's a stately home. We just moved to this house. And Sir Isaac Newton died in that house. That's amazing, isn't it?
That's quite something, yes.
Yeah. I thought, what? So, it's an amazing place. You know, when you look at something, you go buy something, you look at above, on Google Maps, and so I saw this massive house there. Thought, what the heck is that? And it was used in World War II as well for Canadian paratroopers, apparently, for stationed there. Anyway, we're getting off topic a little bit here. It's come from your cluttered office in mind. What's the big macro news at the moment, Joe? Because I've seen a lot of things happening. I know yesterday we had, was it gold rallying? But let me share the screen so we can see a chart here. By the way, that's the AIM. It's rallied up nicely, come back down from the bull market, retraced, but it's rallying again. Yesterday, by the way, John, and this coincided with this, a very odd situation happened where I was at my son's sort of like graduation thing. He's going from, primary school to secondary school, and had an alert on the Russell 2000, which is, of course, American small cap indices. It's shot up, and I'll show you, it hit. I've always got alerts on charts, and I'll show you the indices here, and it shot up 3.57% yesterday. Look at that. And that's pretty much breaking previous highs, and the S&P was down, the NASDAQ was down, and someone said, there's a huge rotation out of mega cap tech. It's done. Probably says done. The trade's done there, and they're going towards small caps. And why was this? A lot of people are saying it was the CPI data from America, inflation data from America. In fact, this is the UK yesterday. Construction's doing well, way above what was expected, and even GDP is way above what was expected. But if you scroll down to American, CPI? So forecast month on month of June was 0.2. We went down to half that. Year on year was 3.4, below expectations. And so you can see that's core. But CPI month on month was down minus 0.1. It's forecast to be plus 1.1. And again, it was softer. So inflation in America is coming down. That pushed up the gold price. Because, of course, if they're going to sort of ease interest rates, then the dollar's going to get weaker. And gold, of course, hard asset gets stronger. But interestingly, small caps rallied on that, which is very interesting because it hasn't for a while. The S&P and the NASDAQ, because the big tech stock, has rallied, but the small caps really hasn't until yesterday, which is very interesting, I thought. Let's look at gold. Anyway, there's gold.
Well, there's always a trigger point at some moment in time where money tends to move from one region of the market to another. Maybe it moves from equities to bonds. Maybe it moves into commodities, maybe as seems to be the case here, it goes from large cap into small cap. And in fact, it wouldn't take a lot of money to move small cap markets right now because they really have been on their backsides. And yeah, certainly, you know, that you the problem with buying small caps is you just don't know when it's going to lift, and you don't know are your stocks going to fall before they rise again. If we make the broad assumption that most small cap companies are actually working in the right direction, doing good things, adding value, which generally they are when I look at them. You know, the aim of management teams is to increase the value of a business, believe it or not. I know there's one or two lifestyle companies out there, but that's more something we see.
Name them, John, name the lifestyle companies.
Well, in the UK, most of these companies are actually there. You know, the guys are actually trying to create value for shareholders. I know there are one or two where they seem to be enriching themselves more than everybody else, but that's pretty limited in our experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, in actual fact, you know, why bull markets, last longer than bear markets is because essentially, you know, apart from the odd shorter, which is, you know, let's be honest, the majority of the market is willing the market to go higher. The majority of businesses and try to improve. You know, that's why you employ people. You're trying to improve new orders, whatever you're doing to improve the business. So you're hoping, you know, that the share price will follow. So the mass majority of people are, you know, positive towards growth, business, improving all that, cutting costs, becoming more efficient. And then, of course, you get these cycles where, you know, growth has to slow down because you can't keep going up, and you get the bear markets there. But yeah, you're right there. So it's quite interesting that there's the Russell 2000. And in fact, AIM yesterday, the FTSE Small Cap Index hit its highest it's been since April 2021. And AIM went up by 1.1%. So I'm welcoming it. If this is happening, if this is money outflow from bigger caps, which you realize if you've seen how much they've rallied, it's crazy. You know, you can't keep going up. Sooner or later, they will fall. And then you've got to say, oh, there's a load of small caps, mid caps, or micro caps that are very undervalued. They've had no money. And so, like you say, when the money starts to flow in from, you know, the profits from the bigger companies into the smaller companies, they'll move a lot faster. And so I'm hoping, fingers crossed, it's going to happen. You know, I'm
hoping that's certainly we've seen signs of it in the technology sector, small cap tech stocks, and healthcare stocks, which were really bombed out after COVID. I mean, clearly they had a great run during COVID, and then they had a big sort of hangover from that party. Having crashed back down again, they are now recovering, and that's good news for that sector.
That's a very positive sign. So yesterday, 1.12% up. And it's gapped up again today. So the big gap opened up again.
That's there's always a little bit of short selling in a lot of these companies, especially the slightly larger ones. And it's very, those shorters will want to close out their positions very fast. So that gives you that extra lift in a stock.
Yeah. So it's generally good if, of course, interest rates come down. It's very good for resource companies if the dollar gets weaker. I suppose it's decent, isn't it? But if the worry on the horizon, of course, the biggest sort of, you know, consumer of resources is China. And I did read it keeps rearing its head. I don't know how long this slow car crash is going to carry on for. But the China property market and the banks, because of course the banks are very indebted because of the property market crashing. And I was reading this thread on X about what's happening in I think I can't remember the numbers, but something 14 small banks have been gobbled up or gone bust or whatever by big banks because they're going through, and the state says you've got to acquire that bank because it's looking bad. And so there's so many people in debt there. That's a little bit worrying. This is now, you know, it's contagion there, you know, from property into banks. But like I said, it's such a massive economy. And this, you know, this tinkering from the state all the time. You don't know how this will end. It can't end very well. And of course, and if that impacts China's growth, then that's going to affect commodities, isn't it?
Well, they've got hundreds, if not thousands, of these small banks. Some of them won't be run by the best people. And, you know, because they've got problems with their property market, and a lot of these banks will have exposure, consolidating some of the weaker banks into the bigger ones. It's not just something the Chinese would do. It's something any government would want to look for. In fact, even in the UK, we would if we were going through that situation in the UK, it's exactly what our own authorities would be doing. They would be, you don't want banks going bust. That doesn't work for anyone. In fact, the US authorities have admitted to me in person that letting Lehman Brothers go down was actually a mistake and a bad thing. And it was kind of allowed to go down or almost forced to go down because their major competitors wanted them to go down, and the very big banks in America have a lot of political influence. I don't think that works quite so well over in the UK, thankfully. But they do admit that Lehman shouldn't have gone down. And having seen the damage that did to markets in 2008, nobody wants to see that happen again. So regulators are much quicker at banging heads together and forcing companies to do deals. And in China, of course, there's the added incentive of if you don't take the hint from the Chinese regulators, you will get jailed or possibly worse.
I mean, look at that. That's the Chinese A50. I assume it's one of the biggest stocks, but it peaked out at February 2021. And it's literally at what level? 20,500, pretty much. And it's now at 12,164. And you can see a definite downtrend there. So, when is that going to end?
To add to the story, there's been a big loss of confidence in Chinese financial institutions. They had a big one that blew itself up. I mean, it made the Bernie Madoff fraud look relatively small. And so a lot of Chinese investors are buying gold. I mean, they're buying physical gold and they're buying gold futures, presumably gold ETFs. They see that as a better way of storing value. Then they're not allowed to buy multiple units of flats and housing. The government said, housing is for living in, not for investment. I think they've tinkered with the rules so it's okay if you buy one extra flat, for example, but you're not allowed to develop a portfolio of these things. That would be an unadvisable idea right now with the way the Chinese government is doing things. So if they've got spare cash, where do they put it? So they are buying gold. They're buying it often in very small units, but they're looking to accumulate. And maybe China will go the way of India, where they store a lot of wealth, a lot of value in gold.
Yeah, maybe they store a lot of gold in those empty flats. Unless,
possibly.
Just put some secure locks on them; they become sort of bullion stores. Okay. Let's look at some companies, John. News wise, Atlantic Lithium has come up with two bits of news. One, unfortunately, was a fatality at the mine, but they've come up with saying they're back up and running. I think.
The Ministry of Mines has been in to look at the circumstances over the fatality, and they have now cleared the company to go ahead again. So that is good news for Atlantic Lithium. I mean, it's always a great tragedy if a fatality or any injury happens on a construction site or a mine. Unfortunately, sometimes people put themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's always a tragedy. But it's you can't legislate against people doing dumb things sometimes. And it's almost, these things are virtually always human error. And it's just a fact of life, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyways, they've covered this off, obviously trying to be a bit sort of sensitive about it, rather than just say we're back up and running. But they said the company is pleased to confirm that the application for the grant of the mining lease in respect of the project has been submitted to the Ghanaian Parliament. I thought they'd been granted that. Now it has to be put to the Parliament. The necessary Parliament process is now underway for Parliament to ratify the mining lease. So is that just a rubber stamping exercise, I suppose, is it?
I would have thought so, because the government is a shareholder through the Sovereign Wealth Fund and directly. And definitely they want this project to go ahead as fast as possible. They see this as a diversification away from the gold mining industry, because Ghana is a huge gold producer. So rising gold prices is good for Ghana. But they also want to be in the world of battery metals as well. They see they don't want to see everybody else just doing this. Ghana is a very proper mining country. In fact, they have a lot of rules and regulations, which is good, because it helps to protect the Ghanaian government. It helps protect the Ghanaian people generally. And it's very mature in all of this. So yes, there are procedures to go through, but they're sensible. They're a bit more designed for large companies and small companies, but it's okay. So we expect full government support for this project and for any others that start up in the region.
Yeah. Well, the share price has been sort of almost trending with, I suppose, they're not obviously producing lithium yet, but they're starting next year, aren't they? A small pilot plant or something. And so if you look at lithium...
They should. They actually, when they get this thing financed, they should be up and running within 12 months because they're going to start producing spodumene concentrates off a simple dense media separation plant. That's kind of as simple as it gets in the mining industry. So very little risk to it from my perspective. It's just they've got to sort out the financing with Piedmont. Piedmont, a big US company that are building lithium refineries out in the United States and have contracts to supply Tesla. So that, that side of things should be good. There have been in negotiations to sell offtake. That's to sell the rights to take lithium material from the mine. We haven't seen the results of that, shall we say. It's not an auction round as such, but it's kind of like that. So we're waiting for the results on that. I don't know how much they're going to get for selling the rights to the offtake, but they'll get a reasonable amount. So hopefully they can put all that financing together to pay for the mine. Certainly Piedmont are in to pay, I think, another 70 million and pay for 50% of the mine building cost.
Yeah. Well, look at the lithium price. I don't know what denomination this is. Well, US dollars, but I don't know where it was at, but it's gone. I'm showing you 85, 84 it was at. I don't know what that is. Is it time?
I'm not sure what you're looking at, because we look
this
at...
This is lithium futures. So this is now, it was peaked out, so just to, regardless of what the price is at, but it's gone from 85 and now it's down to 12.35. So 85 was at like December 2020, it peaked out. The price peaked out there pretty much. And it's gone on a really violent drop pretty much next year or so. And now it's just bumping along. In fact, it's recently hit another low. So why is that? Why is lithium prices so low? What's going on here?
That looks like an index of some sort. Prices have dropped because, they went very high. That's for sure. There was a lot of new battery factories all suddenly trying to stock up on inventory and competing with each other, mainly in China. I mean, over half of the world's lithium-ion battery factories are in China. And it's about 70% of the capacity as well is over there at the moment. The rest of the world is catching up slowly. There's still a lot of innovation going on with battery chemistries, almost all of it around lithium as a metal. Because lithium's so light, you can replace lithium as within the lithium-ion battery with lots of other metals, but then the batteries become very heavy. Lithium just works really well, but of course lithium needs to be stabilized in various ways. You don't want batteries in your car that are going to catch fire. You don't want them to you want those batteries to be able to work over many cycles, and all that's coming. I mean, that is coming now, and I think certainly over the next 5 to 10 years we expect battery capacity, battery safety and cycle life and charging rates to improve enormously. The Koreans are pretty good at this. The Chinese are certainly getting better. And I think the Europeans are working to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, this Tesla, of course, are still the class act when it comes to all of this.
Yeah. So that's lithium hydroxide prices, their futures, apparently. It was at $85,000 a tonne. Is that right?
Yeah,
December 22, $85,000. So it's basically knocked a couple of noughts off the other one. And now it's done at 11,000 or 12,000. So that's a massive drop, isn't it? I mean, the hype cycle happened there in lithium hydroxide, went up to that amount, it's come back down. But I suppose when you start seeing that price rise, I suppose, that's when Atlantic Lithium will start rising, maybe.
Well, we think we're at the bottom of this market. Spodumene prices are $990 a ton for 6% spodumene. That actually has, I mean, although it was higher, that's not a bad price. You can make a decent profit off that price for most people. Certainly Atlantic Lithium would make a decent profit off it. And other people like Kodal Minerals, for example, who were, I mean, we act as nomad and broker to both of those companies, I should say. We do expect these prices to lift because there are a lot of Chinese companies, particularly in Zimbabwe, that produce lithium concentrates from lepidolite. And lepidolite's it's not such a good mineral for the production of lithium. They're quite a long way from the coast. They've got high costs, and those guys are having to shut down. So we're seeing quite a lot of this higher cost, lower quality lithium production closing now. And that means that the world will get better for the better quality people like Kodal and like Atlantic Lithium. Savannah is another one that we act for. So, yeah, I think it's going to go better. It just takes a little bit of time to get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the chart of Kodal. It's back on the rise again. It's back up again. What's the market cap of Kodal? Is it 117? Okay, and what's the market cap of Atlantic Lithium now? 125. Okay. Next, John, you were going to talk about Blue Jay, and I assume you said you did say, I don't know if anyone's interested in listening to this, because it's been a tough ride for shareholders. I don't know if anyone's switched off, if a shareholder switched off, but after a fall like that, you can excuse them for paying no attention to Blue Jay now, because that's a heck of a fall. It's gone down literally,
I sympathize.
And
I also took losses on Blue Jay somewhere down near the current price. I'm quite close to these guys. We act as nomad and broker. Rod McGilrey had stepped away from the business for a while to do other things, as sometimes these guys do. He's gone back in there. While he wasn't involved with the business, he put a couple of guys in charge who, shall we say, didn't share the same outlook as he does and as we do. They looked like they were killing off the Dundas project, which is the big big ilmenite titanium mineral sands project in Greenland. News this week is that actually there is high-grade titanium or high-grade ilmenite in hard rock underneath the mineral sands. I think that's good news. I can't say that's definitely going to turn it into a mine, but it makes it much more attractive. What it means is the potential tonnage there is going to be very much larger, and it means that the big companies that want to buy ilmenite on a long-term basis will take this project far more seriously. Now, if you think back a few years, Rio Tinto were quite interested in this, and they took a 44,000-ton bulk sample from Greenland. And in fact, they were due to process 5,000 tons of that some years ago. Now, we never found out what the results of that processing were. They may have been positive. They may not have been positive. As it so happens, Rio Tinto didn't follow up. They didn't sign a contract to buy lots of material from the Dundas mine. But it doesn't mean it's not good stuff. In fact, we spend a lot of time looking at the quality of this material, and from what we were able to ascertain, it seemed to be quite sensible quality ilmenite. Now, we don't know will this project ever go ahead? Will it not? It's difficult to know, but it certainly has a better chance today than it had a week ago.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was looking back at the share price saying that people may be getting a bit more interested now, because on the 1st of July, it rallied by 116%. It turns out that...
this is because of the helium.
On the 1st of July, anything that was announced in the first... Oh, no, it was hydrogen and helium discovery. There's a lot of hype around hydrogen and helium, isn't
there? Well, yes, there is, because there have been helium companies that have actually been quite successful. And helium is a commodity that is in a certain amount of demand. And what's interesting is the license area in Finland is the Geological Survey of Finland has identified helium and hydrogen on those licenses historically. So what happens is a country will do a big geological survey. Often they did it 50, 60 years ago. And then people get, you know, they dig out the reports and go, oh, by the way, did you know, if you actually drill a bit deeper, you might find more. You might find you're on top of some hydrogen and helium and probably natural gas as well. Now, they're not an oil and gas company, but Rod McGilroy is the sort of entrepreneur who isn't about to pass up the idea of trying of drilling for hydrogen and helium, particularly when the prices are good and when there's demand for it.
Yeah, so obviously by 18, you know, the same day he bought 6 million shares at 0.3 pence or whatever it was. But isn't it the new .com for resource companies? This, it's like the new lithium, isn't it? Or when there's hype around a certain resource, you find lots of resource companies come up with, oh, we've got some helium as well. Because you got Helium One did a massive rise a while back on that, because they almost like look like going bust, and they Rukwa, and then they came up with some results, and it went up 1,000% or something ridiculous. And then everyone's now saying, well, we got some helium, by the way. Is it just a happy coincidence? Will some of these come to commercial fruition, or is it just jumping on the hype cycle of helium?
Well, the deal that they did...
Anyway, look at that. Helium 1, it went from, literally, in January this was, it went from 0.2 up to pretty much 2.9. It was a 10-bagger in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sessions. And that's the hype. But look where it's come down from. Look where it's been. It's like 28 pence it was. But even with that rise, it's still getting 3 pence. Anyway, go on, John.
Well, my view is that, you know, with the licenses that Blue Jay now has, because they acquired more licenses in this sort of area, and with the determination that Rod McGilroy has, I think there's a reasonable chance that that they'll go and find some, but we don't know yet. They're an exploration company. But what's the point in looking for something that nobody wants? Much better to go looking for something that actually is in strong demand.
It's also saying, I can imagine other resource companies now, or other traders, investors looking for resource companies coming out with they mention the old helium. Oh, we've got some helium, by the way. Share price, hooray! It's amazing how the markets work, isn't it? Also, you mentioned your cousin. If so, well, that's a ticker. Yeah, cousin there. Cousin from Cornwall.
Cornish Metals.
Yeah.
Cousin. Yes, well, yeah, I mean, like, I have a very fond attraction to this company, because I did work in this mine as a student many years ago.
What's happened to the share price here? Why did it collapse like this? I mean, we went through the period where there was people on bulletin boards saying it's dead, is livestock down the mine, cows and sheep, and you say that's ridiculous. But why? What's going on? Why is the share price?
That was that first fall when they'd had a lot of rain in Cornwall, and then somebody decided to put it about that there was that the mine was had been reflooded. And there were cows and sheep.
There was a cow and sheep stew in the mine, pretty much.
Which was rubbish. Look, before I go any further, we are Nomad and Broker to this company, and I do own shares in it. That was rubbish. And then we know that there has been some selling by one of the major historical shareholders called Osisko. They sold a load of stock. And I have a suspicion there's also been a bit of short selling out of Canada. Don't know exactly why. We know management had gone round to see a few Canadian institutions and investors, and then there was the shares fell quite hard.
Surely, if the presentation was good, the roadshow was good, why would they be selling it, short selling it?
Well, I you never know. I mean, sometimes people are anticipating certain events that might come through, but. What is good news this week is to see that they've now moved into a new phase on developing the shaft, or refurbishing the shaft, and that anything that brings the mine closer to production to me is value adding.
Well, that's them on the phone, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving you an up to date second by second blow of what's happening right now. Okay, second shaft refurbishment. Yeah, okay. All right, so what's going to get... But this is tanked, isn't it? Literally, that must be annoying, just all these people... What's the market cap now? 28 million market cap. But look, remember this coming to the market and it being a bit of a star, didn't it? It went from like 8 pence up to 28 pence and slowly grinded down. Now we're back at 5. So,
well, I think some of that suggests the state of the small cap markets that we've been in, certainly in the small cap mining sector. A lot of stocks have unfortunately suffered in that way. The tin price is good. Certainly that's all good. In fact, the engineering work being done by the team at Cornish Metals, I think is excellent. And I think, they will carry on working towards the development of this mine because they'll have to finance it. They've got to do a feasibility study. There'll be a bit more drilling for that, and then they need to finance it. But as far as I'm concerned, all the key elements are in place, and this is something that ought to go ahead. So I'm quite keen on it. I'll probably buy some more shares in it. I'll make that declaration, I think. We published a research note on the company in the week. Hopefully that will help to explain to people where the value is. Some people see, not everybody in the world is as positive as we are on the tin price. But for me, I think tin is not a huge market, but then it's very rare to find a new tin mine, to be honest. I mean, none of us can think of anything new for many years. So reopening old mines is about the only way to go. Myanmar is in the midst of a civil war. There's a certain amount of tin comes out from there, but it's all very small scale anyway. Indonesia doesn't really produce much anymore because they've mined it all out, as far as I'm aware. So Cornwall is the best place to go.
Yeah, nothing coming out of Myanmar.
And according to the Labour Party, they're very keen to develop critical metals within the UK. So fantastic. Yeah.
I love how they're majored on tin. That'd be good. And we also want to develop the tin industry in the UK. We love tin. I'm a big fan of tins. All my fruit and vegetables in the tins, they last forever. Let's get more tins out there. Very recyclable tins. Market fundamentals remain supportive for the tin price, which has traded above $30,000 over the last 3 months and is presently nearly 40% year to date at approximately $35,000 a ton. I didn't realize tin was so expensive. For a ton of tin, $35,000.
You can do a lot with a ton of tin. You can solder an awful lot of connections.
A lot of cans, yeah.
And when you think of how many connections there are in an electric vehicle with all the small batteries, because Tesla, for example, uses cylindrical cells, an awful lot of connections that are soldered. Every soldered connection is a very small amount of tin, but it adds up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the headline... this video podcast, John, is you can do an awful lot with a ton of tin. I love that. You can do a heck of a lot with a ton of tin. I've never envisaged having a ton of tin. So but I take it immediately because you can use the soldering bits. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, there we are. The Inside the World of Tin. John Mayer. That should be next book, John.
Maybe.
Inside the World of Tin. You can do a hell of a lot with a ton of tin. Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, John, and we'll speak you next week.
You're welcome. Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.